Welcome to Fusion City Church Online. We are so glad that you made the decision to join us again today. In just a few moments, you're going to hear from our teaching pastor, Brian, where we're going to start a brand new journey today that we are really excited about. Before that happens, you're going to be able to worship together at home, sing together, and we encourage you to participate. But before any of that happens, I want to pray together, mainly over the prayer requests that you guys continue to send in through FusionCityChurch.com. And some of those prayer requests are all about your work situations. Several of you are having family members that are having surgery, and I know that's a really tough time right now to be in the hospitals and not be able to see loved ones through those surgeries. Some of you are even joining us in praying for our country and our leaders, so I appreciate that. And let's pray for some of those things now. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you. We thank you so much for the opportunity that you give us to participate together through technology. And God, I pray that through all that we do, we will bring honor and glory to you. God, right now, I specifically pray for those requests that are continuing to come in. God, I pray for our country. I pray for the loved ones that are going through sickness. God, I pray for those who are having surgeries. God, I pray for those who are having just some tough economic times right now. Maybe their jobs are cut in half, or maybe they're just out of work. Whatever it may be, God, I pray that you will touch them in a very, very special way. Let them know that you love them. And God, I pray that they'll find joy in the situations that they are in right now. God, we love you and we thank you. And most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you, we praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you.
Well, hello, Fusion family. It's so good to be able to come to you again via video doing this church online thing. Especially today, I'm really excited because today we begin a journey through the book of Philippians. And I know I feel like I say this all the time in regards to scripture, but the book of Philippians really is one of my favorites. Now, if we're going to talk about the book of Philippians, our story and our journey really has to begin in Acts chapter 16. And as we're kind of tracking along with Paul on his missionary journeys, what we see in Acts 16 is Paul feels led by God, by the Holy Spirit, to go to the area of Macedonia. And he ends up in this Roman colony, this city called Philippi. And there, Acts 16 records for us three different encounters that Paul has with individuals in that city. And the first, Paul goes to a prayer meeting. There are a lot of women there, and Paul encounters a woman named Lydia. And we're told that she's a dealer in purple dyes. In modern day context, Lydia would be a wealthy businesswoman, probably like fashionista, right? And so Paul encounters Lydia. She invites he and all of those that are traveling with him to come and to hang out at her house while they're in the city of Philippi. A few days later, or several days later, Paul is once again headed to another prayer meeting, and he's encountered by this demon-possessed girl who's owned by a couple of slave owners. So she's a slave. She has a demon in her that allows her to prophesy or to foretell she's a fortune teller, essentially. And she's been walking around behind Paul and all the men that he's with, yelling, "Hey, these men are here to prophesy to you about the God of the Most High." The Bible tells us that Paul gets annoyed by her clamoring on over and over about what she's up to. And so he turns around, he casts out the demon. Now, this makes the men who own this girl really angry because they were profiting off of her ability to foretell the future and being a fortune teller and that kind of stuff. So they get angry. They have Paul and Silas and a couple of other his, they have him arrested and put before trial, and they're found guilty of kind of disturbing the peace would be the charges in our modern day context. Because they are being held and because they're awaiting trial, Paul and Silas end up in prison, kind of like where I am today. So we find Paul and Silas behind bars. And there, while they're behind bars, they are entrusted to the care of a Philippian jailer. Now, this guy is not your average, ordinary jailer. This guy enjoys handing out abuse. I mean, the scriptures tell us that he is just charged with keeping Paul and Silas safe until they can get to trial, but instead he decides to lock them up in the stocks. And I know when we hear stocks, we think of kind of medieval, you know, your head and arms through a hole. This was much different. This was locking a body in a position where it would be in constant like cramp and strain and pain. So this guy kind of enjoys causing pain to the people who are put into prison under his care. But even in the midst of this persecution, it can't stop Paul and Silas from rejoicing and praising God. And so it tells us that about midnight of the night that they're kept in prison, that Paul and Silas are praising God and they're singing hymns. And all of a sudden, an earthquake happens and the doors of the prison cell are thrown open. And all of the prisoners' chains come loose. And the Philippian jailer hears the commotion going on in response to the earthquake. And he comes to check and see what's going on. And he finds that all of the doors have been thrown open and all the chains have fallen off. And he knows that this means that all of the prisoners that were under his charge are now able to be released. And he's terrified, because this means persecution and charges against him. And so in light of all the strain and stress of what he has going on, this guy decides he's going to take his own life. And so he draws his sword and he prepares to take his own life. And then he hears Paul and Silas call out to him and say, "Hey, hold up, buddy. Don't do it. Don't take your own. We're all still here. Nobody's going anywhere." And in response to this incredible act of graciousness on the part of Paul and Silas and all the others that were locked up with them, this Philippian jailer wants to know more about the God that these men say that they believe in, because they've done him such an incredible, gracious, gospel-centered act. And the scripture then records for us that he takes Paul and Silas and the others to his home. He bandages up their wounds. He cares for them. He hears more about the gospel, and he and his whole family are baptized. So all in these three encounters, first with Lydia, and then the slave girl, and now the Philippian jailer, we see Paul use the gospel to engage Lydia's intellect and her status and her wealthy businesswoman lifestyle. We see Paul engage the demon-possessed slave girl with the power of spiritual force available to those who follow Christ. And then we see this duty-bound, just go get my job done, kind of mean Roman jailer. And Paul uses the gospel to engage him in selfless service. Three encounters, three different people, three different classes of people, but the gospel engages all of them. And that is the power of the gospel. And that is where the church at Philippi got its start. So, what's important for us to remember is that when we read through the book of Philippians, Paul isn't writing to strangers. Paul's writing to Lydia and to the slave girl and to the jailer and his family that Paul baptized in their home. And so it makes sense then when we read through this book that all of the very relational language that Paul uses, it's there for a reason, because he knew these people. Now, he's writing about 10 to 12 years since he's been in Philippi. And once again, Paul finds himself in a prison cell in Rome, and he's writing to his friends in Philippi. And this is what he says. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day. Remember when he met Lydia and the slave girl? Like from that first day, from the first time that we met until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And that's where I want to spend our time focusing for the next few minutes. That Paul says, I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you, Lydia, and the one who began a good work in you, jailer, he's going to carry that on to completion. That it doesn't matter where you start. The gospel always finds us right where we are. It found Lydia as this Jewish fashionista businesswoman. It found a girl demon-possessed and in slavery. And it found a jailer mean and angry, enjoying delving out punishment to people. The gospel finds us right where we are, but it always takes us someplace better. And so Paul here, writing to his friends 10 years later, who knows the journey that they've been on? You know, maybe Lydia, because of her wealth and status and kind of charter member of the church at Philippi, maybe she began to battle with some pride and arrogance. Maybe the slave girl that Paul freed from demon possession, maybe she struggled with trusting people because she had been so manipulated and marginalized. Maybe she struggles with trusting men because it was men who owned her and exploited her earlier in her life. Maybe this Roman jailer in the city of Philippi who struggled with meanness still struggles with harshness, even though he's had a gospel encounter and a life-changing experience through his conversations with Paul and seeing his family baptized. But maybe he still struggles with being a little gruff or a little harsh or a little hard to get along with. You see, the gospel finds each and every one of us where we are, and it takes us to someplace better. And so Paul says, I'm confident because I know how the gospel works. I know what it does. I know the power that it has. It can meet the intellect. It can meet the manipulated and exploited slave, and it can meet the rough and gruff Roman ex-military guy and do good. I know the power of the gospel, and because I know the power of the gospel, I'm confident that the one who began a good work in you is going to carry it on to completion. And that's my hope for every one of us that call Fusion home, and for all of you who are watching this who don't belong to Fusion City Church as well. My hope is that the gospel would find you where you are and then take you to someplace better. Because I'm confident, much like Paul, I'm confident in the power of the gospel to complete the good work that it began in you. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for the gospel, for its power to meet us where we are. And Father, I'm so honored to have access to the accounts of Paul in Scripture, because we see how he took this good news, this gospel of Jesus Christ, and with the many different ways that he was able to leverage the influence of the gospel into the lives of those that he encountered, from wealthy business women to duty-stricken jailers. God, the gospel has the power to change lives. And Father, I thank you that it's changed mine. And I thank you for each and every person that I call a brother and sister Christ, Father, for the change that they've seen in their life. But Father, even though we've been changed, we know that none of us are a finished work. That there's still more that your gospel seeks and wishes to do in and through our lives. And so Father, my hope would be today that we would have the same confidence as Paul. That the good work that you began in us through the gospel, Father, that we would see that carried on to completion. And we know that completion doesn't happen on this side of eternity, but on the other. The one where we are once and for all at home with you and with our Lord Jesus. And so, Father, we wait with anxious anticipation of the completed work of the gospel in our lives through Jesus, your Son. And Father, it's in his name that I pray. Amen.
I'm so excited for us to be going through the book of Philippians, and I hope that you'll join us back here same time next week as we continue the journey through Philippians. But before you go, there are a couple questions that we thought we would put up on the screen for you so that you can talk to your family about some of the content that you just participated in. Until we see you again, I pray that you guys will stay safe, and God bless.